Good morning. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Happy Easter service. First song we're going to be singing this morning is song 31, He Lives. Song number 31 of your hymn books, He Lives. 3-1. I serve a risen Savior on the first. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
All right, everybody, good singing this morning. Brother Christian, could you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen, amen. Next song is going to be song 209, Sunshine in the Soul. Sunshine in the Soul, song 209. There's sunshine in my soul today, on the first.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly skies. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to the King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, where the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his shining face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments grow. When Jesus shows his shining face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love. For blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his shining face, there is sunshine in my soul.
All right, now for some announcements.
All right, welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church Easter service. Raise your hand if you need a bulletin, and Usher will bring one to you. And the verse of the week is John 2, verse 19. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Of course, the temple is referring to Christ himself, and Jesus Christ has the power to overcome death, and that's why we are celebrating Easter Sunday. Amen. So let's look at the inside page. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X, so please give us a follow. We have service time this morning at 11. We have Sunday afternoon service at 4. And Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. And this Wednesday we'll be finishing up the book of Ruth. We'll be in Ruth chapter 4. And then we'll start a new book. Any suggestion, feel free to let me know. I'm leaning on a New Testament book since I've been doing several Old Testament books. So please let me know. And then you can see the salvations and last week's attendance below. Upcoming events. Again, this is our Easter service. We'll have a potluck right after the morning service. I'll give you some instructions after the service because we'll be stacking the chair up and pulling out the tables on this side. So just, you know, I'll talk more about it after the morning service. Also, during the afternoon service today, we'll have a men's preaching night. You know, everyone backed out on me, so I only have two preachers, so, you know, but we'll have fun about it. We may have a special song service doing the song request, and then we're going to have men's preaching night, so that's how we're going to wrap up Easter Sunday. Also, we had a great mega marathon yesterday. The Chicago region had 9 salvations, and then the Indy region had 5 salvations. Overall, on all the churches participating, let me pull up the stat. So there are 78 events across the world. We have 915 soul winners, and the total salvation is 1,375. So it's a great, great harvest. Just imagine if, you know, all the Baptist churches doing half of the soul winning every single week, right? Most of the world will be evangelized in no time, right? So, you know, I was looking at the chart. We have, you know, pretty much, multiple states. I mean, the Philippines has been killing it. We got Canada, all the different U.S. states, Poland, New South Wales, Sydney, Australia, Hong Kong, China, which, you know, Hong Kong is part of China, by the way. Just all the regions throughout the world, just super, super encouraging to see the whole result. 1,375 salvations. I know next year the plan is to do the soul winning event the day before Easter across all 50 states. And, you know, hopefully we can make that happen and get even more people saved. Let's look at more announcement. We have soul winning event coming up. April 25th is the Gary Soul Winning Marathon. And then we have an IU Bloomington soul winning marathon on May 2nd. I will get the details finalized this week so you can sign up for the event. You can also go to our website for more details about the upcoming events. Also, godresource.com is, you know, where we pull all the events together, where you can sign up and figure out the location. So there's that. And then the April preaching schedule is for you to see. If you want to know how to be saved or needs to be baptized, please see an usher or myself after the service. On the back, against the birthdays coming up in the month of April, there's a typo. You know, Peter's birthday is, you know, last month. I just left it there for some reason. So just ignore the 18th. And we'll have two birthdays this month. All right. That's all the announcement. Let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering.
All right, next song we're going to be singing is song 317, I'll Live for Him, song 317. In your hymn books. My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. I now believe thou dost receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I trust in thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Oh, thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll concentrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Ushers, could you please come up for the offering? Brother Moorhead, could you please pray for the offering?
All right, we'll be in John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and usher will give one to you. John chapter 3. The whole chapter will be read. John chapter 3, the Bible reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men came to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Brother Landon, could you pray us to the service?
Amen. You're in John chapter 3. Let's look at the most famous verse, John 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to preach a sermon this morning called The Only Begotten Son. The Only Begotten Son. Because the Bible doesn't just call Jesus the Son of God. The Bible also calls him the only begotten Son of God, and that's not a filler word, okay? The word has to mean something, so This morning, I want to talk about what this word means and why it matters. I do believe this word can mean different things depending on the context. So, by the way, when you are in John, keep your place there. We'll leave it and come right back to it. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1. Again, the title of the sermon this morning is The Only Begotten Son. Point number 1, I want to talk about the identity. The identity. Of course, you know, when the Bible says Jesus is the only begotten son, what does begotten mean? The Webster 1828 dictionary will tell you that the word begotten means to be procreated or generated. But we know that Christ is not created, right? So we must compare scripture with scripture. You are in John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. John chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now the Word is Jesus Christ. So the Word is with God the Father. God the Son, Jesus, was with God the Father. The same was in the beginning with God. Now jump down to verse number 18. No man hath seen God, talking about God the Father, at any time. The only, notice this, begotten Son, that is Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Again, you know, this verse at least prove the Trinity, right? You know, at least two persons in the triune God. God, you know, God the Father. No man has seen God the Father at any time, but, you know, people have seen God the Son, right? So God is one God, three persons. That's why we believe in the Trinity, okay? And Jesus is God's only begotten Son. So, again, what does it mean here that Jesus is the only begotten Son? It means that Jesus is unique. There's no one like him, right? It means that Jesus shares the same nature with God the Father. This means that Jesus did not become the Son at the virgin birth. He is always the Son. Jesus is the eternal Son, right? There's a doctrine called the eternal sonship of Christ. So when the Bible says that Jesus is God's only begotten Son, it means that he is unique. Go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at verse number 18. John chapter 3, verse number 18. The Bible says this: He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God because he is unique, because he shares the same nature as God the Father, because he is God. That's why if you don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, if you don't believe in the eternal sonship of Christ, if you don't believe that Jesus is, you know, God, you are believing in the wrong Jesus. You are believing the wrong Christ, right? Because if you want to be saved, you have to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, meaning that believing Christ is the eternal Son, he is God, that he is perfect. That's why whenever you are sharing your gospel at someone's door, make sure to clarify and to explain that Jesus is God. Okay? That's why the Muslims, the Jews, the Hindus, and the Jehovah's false witnesses, the Mormons, and all the other religions that deny the deity of Christ are not saved. Okay? Because you have to believe that Jesus Christ, he is the only begotten Son of God, meaning that he is God. Okay? He is unique. Now go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Look at verse number 5. John 17, verse 5. The Bible says this, John 17, 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Here, Jesus Christ is calling God the Father self. That means God the Father is a person, right? That's why we believe there are three persons in the triune God, right? Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. Don't miss this, before the world was. So Jesus Christ did not come into being at the virgin birth. He is always the Son. He is the only begotten Son. Jump down to verse 24. John 17, verse 24. The Bible says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me, don't miss this, before the foundation of the world. So God the Father loved God the Son before the world was even made, because Christ has always been the Son. He did not become the Son of God. He is always the Son. We believe in the eternal sonship of Christ. Now go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So Jesus is God's only begotten Son. It talks about his identity. It talks about the eternal sonship. It talks about his deity. Jesus did not become the Son. He has always been the Son. And that's different from us, okay? We are sons of God or daughters of God because we were adopted into God's family. But Jesus is the Son because he is the only begotten Son. He is unique. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 14. Romans 8, verse 14. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The only way for us to call God our Father is through salvation, right? We are grafted in, we are adopted into the family of God. Verse number 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son because of his nature, because he is God, and we become the sons of God through the process of adoption. That's why in John 1:12, the Bible says, but as many as receive him, talking about salvation, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, right? We have to become children of God, but Christ is always the Son. He is the only begotten Son. That's why it's important to describe Jesus as the only begotten Son, and that's why we are King James only. Right. Amen. We all know John 3:16, okay? Let me just read to you John 3:16 from different Bible versions, okay? Here's the ESV. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Again, soften the doctrine of the eternal sonship of Christ. Jesus Christ is not God's only Son, but it's God's only begotten Son. Amen? Here's the Message Bible, okay? That's going to be a dry bar comedy for the day. The Message Bible. "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed, by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." Again, total garbage, right? Here's the not-inspired version, the NIV. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Again, soften the doctrine, weaken the doctrine. Turn the Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Here's the New Living Translation. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son. See, the modern versions, they don't just simplify a word. They weaken a doctrine. Amen. Begotten tells you that Jesus is, you know, who Christ is and what makes him unique. We are all sons of God because of salvation and the adoption, but Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. John 1, look at verse number 18 again. John chapter 1, look at verse number 18 again. The Bible says, "No man had seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him." So the Bible is very clear, you know, the only begotten Son, you know, which is in the bosom of God the Father. Here's the ESV. "No one has seen God, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he had made him known." Sounds like a contradiction, right? The only God, talking about Jesus Christ, is the only God who is at the Father's side. Again, it's very, very confusing. Here's the Message Bible, okay? Now, this is getting weirder. Here's the Message Bible. "No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. The one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of the Father, hath made him plain as day." Just ridiculous translation, okay? Now go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You look at John chapter 3, verse number 18. Let me just read to you the NLT, okay? John 3:18 in the NLT perversion. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Now, here's a problem. If you are saved, you are a son of God. The modern translation not only caused confusions and weakened the deity of Christ, but they also caused people to doubt the word of God because Jesus Christ, he is not the one and only Son, because we are all sons of God through faith, right? But Christ is the only begotten Son. That's why just get yourself a King James Bible so you can know the real Jesus. Because Jesus Christ, one of his names is called the Word of God. Amen. Now go to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1. So point number 1, I talk about the identity. Point number 2, I want to talk about the transition. The transition. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That's why he makes it possible for you to be born of God. Because he's the only begotten Son of God, he makes it possible for you and me to be born of God. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse number 12 again. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." This proves that not everyone is a child of God, right? Yeah. People have to, you know, become a child of God through faith, through salvation. Now go to John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. Look at verse number 6. John chapter 3, verse number 6. The Bible says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's talking about your physical birth when you are born, you know, from your mother. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Here, verse number 7, born again is talking about a spiritual birth, right? People need to have two births. One is physical birth. Everyone here is born physically. I mean, I hope, right? But we need to be born again, spiritually speaking, meaning being born again into the family of God, okay? By the way, that's why we use the King James Bible, because in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again." Everyone must be born again, right? It changes the meaning, okay? So if you're here today, but if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you don't know that you are going to heaven, or if you're trusting in your works, you need to be born again, right? Jesus Christ came to die for you because no one is good enough. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Talk to an usher or myself after the service. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. First John chapter 4, look at verse number 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says this, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his," don't miss this, "only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Why did God send his only begotten Son? That we may have eternal life. That is the purpose, okay? So the only begotten Son makes it possible for you to be born of God, and Jesus is begotten by nature, but we are begotten by a new birth, okay? So here's the difference, okay? So if you are begotten of God, you should love those who are also begotten of God. If you are begotten of God through salvation, through the adoption process, you should love those who are begotten of God. Just think about this, okay? If you are adopted into God's family through salvation, this makes all saved Christians one big family. You are not just forgiven, you are not just, you know, justified, you are brought into a family, amen? So if God is your father, and if God is my father, that makes us family, right? And if you claim to love God the Father, the Bible says that you will love his children. You're in 1 John chapter 5. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God, And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Who is him that begat? That's talking about God the Father, right? Who is him that is begotten of him? That's the children of God. So if you say you love God, you also love those that are begotten of God, right? That's why you don't get to pick which believers you love. You don't get to say, I love God, but not his people. You don't get to hold bitterness against your spiritual family, because if you love him that begat, you will love him that are begotten of him. You cannot love the Father and hate the family. Salvation cannot just give you a savior. Salvation gives you siblings, right? Spiritual siblings. And when you are born again, you get a whole new family, whether you like it or not. Okay? And you didn't just get saved, you get related. Okay? Whether you are white, yellow, orange, and brown, whatever. Okay? And here's the transition I'm talking about. Christ is God's only begotten Son, and we are begotten of God through salvation. And the result is a spiritual family that must love one another. Now go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 20. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, which he hath seen, how can he love God whom he had not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. If you love God, you will love the children of God. Now go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 13. 1 John 3:13 says this. Marvel not, don't be shocked, don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hates you. The Bible says, don't be surprised if the unsaved heathen, the Catholics, unbelieving Jews hate you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. But look at verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother, don't miss this, abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's why I believe if someone truly hates other Christians, that's a serious red flag.
Amen.
That's a major red flag.
Amen.
I'm not talking about, some people struggling with bitterness and just having conflicts with other Christians. But if someone has settled hatred against other believers, no love for God's people at all, and there's no conviction about it, I doubt their salvation.
Amen.
Okay? And that's biblical, right? The Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer and there's no eternal life, right? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. What can we take away from this? We should have Christian characters so we can love and serve one another.
Amen.
Okay? Because that's the transition, right? Because Christ is begotten of God, we get to be adopted, and as a result, we become siblings with each other, we should love one another. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Ephesians 4:1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, don't miss this, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a great chapter about unity, and part of the process to achieve unity is to be long-suffering. Right, is to forbear one another in love, because we are all begotten of God, right? So with everything, that's been going on in the last couple of weeks, I'm just so grateful, okay? And, I want to thank God that God has allowed me to train up a real army.
Amen.
And, let me just read to you some of the statements that people have told me in the last 2 weeks, okay? After all of this is settled, we will have one heck of a core group. I am SFBC. I will die for them. We must be a bigger threat than I can imagine. We really appreciate you being unbiased and independent. We don't need them to reach the Midwest. You know, obviously we have Dr. Stringer lumping us with the LGBT, Hitler, Democrats. You know, we don't need them to reach the Midwest, right? You know, if the churches want to cut us off, hey, we don't really need them. But I hope we can rally behind soul winning.
Amen.
You know, so Lord wants our church to have more unity around the right things. It's nice to have friends, but if they don't want to be friendly with us, they're lost. We will be fine. I think God allowed it to happen this way to see who's following God or man. You know, those are great statements, right? Because, you know, I want to be friends with people, but if they don't want to be friends, they're lost, you know. But I still hope we can rally behind soul winning.
Amen.
You know, we can join a soul winning event, some kind of conference, and we can still have great fellowship, okay? Here's my attitude. Let's not return evil for evil. Let's not return railing for railing, because all of you know my character,
amen,
right? So we need to love one another and just mind our own business, amen? Because there are so many real enemies to fight against. You know, the No King crowd, the LGBT, those are the real enemies, okay? Let's just, you know, get rid of all of the infightings. Let's fight against those people who want to divide the brethren. Let's fight against the sycophants, scorners, and flatterers. Let's fight against the psychopathic ex-New FB. You know, let's fight against bitterness in your life, right? Let's have love, unity, and charity. Let's be more New FB.
Yeah.
By the way, it's New Independent Fundamental Baptist. Let's be more New FB. Amen?
Amen.
So we talk about the identity, we talk about the transition, but anybody can claim the identity. Anyone can claim authority, but God doesn't just leave the identity of the Son up for debate. God gave proof, and that's the resurrection. Amen? Now go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. So I said point number one, the identity. Point number two, the transition. Point number three, the resurrection. Last week, we went through Genesis 22 and talked about the substitutionary atonement of Christ. We talked about how Jesus took our place in hell and fully paid for our sins. And we also partook the Lord's Supper last Sunday afternoon. It was an ordinance to remember Christ's sacrifice. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then nobody is going to heaven. You're in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which, by the gospel, also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." See, the only way to be saved is by believing the gospel.
Amen.
And the gospel is the death,
amen,
burial, and bodily resurrection.
Right.
That's why we believe in the burial, right? And the bodily resurrection, not going to church, not being baptized when you are a baby, not reading your Bible, not turning away from your sins, not being a good person, not feeling spiritual, not confessing to God every night, but believing the gospel,
amen,
right? Jesus Christ paid it all.
Amen.
Now jump down to verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 says this, "That now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen," don't miss this, "then is our preaching vain. Our preaching is empty, is meaningless, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. If Christ did not rise again, then we are all false witnesses," right? "Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised," don't miss this, "your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." The Bible says, no resurrection, no salvation.
Amen.
Okay, no resurrection, no salvation. Everything about what we believe hinges upon the resurrection.
Right.
If there's no resurrection, then there's no gospel, right? If there's no resurrection, then there's no salvation, then there's no hope. If there's no resurrection, then the cross was a defeat, not a victory. If there's no resurrection, then sin has not been conquered. Okay? Go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. If there's no resurrection, then death still reigns. Then death has not been defeated. If there's no resurrection, then you are still in your sins. Your sins are not forgiven. Then there will be no new life. There will be no future beyond your physical death, right? If there's no resurrection, then our gathering this morning is pointless. Amen. The preaching is pointless. All of the sermons are vain, vanity, right? If there's no resurrection, then the entire Christian faith is false. Everything we do is meaningless. And this brings me to another aspect of the word begotten. You're in Psalm chapter 2, look at verse number 7. Psalm 2, 7 says this: I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Amen. According to this verse, there was a day that Jesus was begotten, and this cannot mean Jesus came into being since he is God, right? This has to mean something else. Now go to Acts 13. Acts 13 gives us the explanation of Psalm 2. So there was a day that Christ was begotten. Acts 13, look at verse 32. Acts 13, verse 32. The Bible says in Acts 13, verse 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings. That's the good news. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written, don't miss this, in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So when was Jesus begotten? When he was resurrected, right? He was begotten because he was... The day that he was begotten was the day that he was resurrected. Look at verse number 34. As concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid up and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Why? Because he was risen after 3 days, right? His physical body did not see any corruption. There was not any decay, okay? Because he was only buried for 3 days and three nights. That's why we deny the Good Friday. Good Friday is a hoax. You know, it's a Thursday crucifixion. No matter how you calculate it, Good Friday is just false, okay? Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says this: And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, don't miss this, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So Jesus was the first to be bodily raised to a glorified body. He was the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. That's important because Lazarus died again. Right? The widow's son died again. Jairus' daughter died again. But Jesus dies no more. Amen. He's the first begotten of the dead. Now go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. See, the word begotten can have different meaning based on the context, right? He's the only begotten son, meaning he's the eternal son. He has always been the Son. But Christ is also the first begotten of the dead. He's the first one who was raised again from the dead, never to die again. Okay? Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 9. Romans 6, 9 says this. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Revelation 1:18 says this. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He dies no more, right? He's the first begotten of the dead. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the resurrection of Christ also kicked off the everlasting priesthood, right? Because in Hebrews, you know, the author was quoting Psalm chapter 2 about the resurrection, and then he says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. No longer after the order of Aaron, right? Now we are all kings and priests unto Christ because the priesthood has been changed. Amen. At the resurrection. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Don't miss verse number 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. How was Christ declared the Son of God with power? By the resurrection from the dead. See, the resurrection declared who Christ is. And the resurrection is the proof that the payment has been accepted. Amen? Simply shows God's power, right? And the resurrection did not make Christ the Son. The resurrection declared him to be the Son with power. Because Christ has the power to conquer death, and Jesus is who he said he was. Okay? Now go back to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 17. John 10 verse 17. The Bible says this. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Christ was really confident. Hey, you can, you know, I'm going to lay down my life, and, you know, I'm going to be raised from the dead, right? Christ was who he said he was. He was, you know, declared to be a Son of God with power by the resurrection. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. John 2:19 says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Okay, so Christ has made many promises before he died about the resurrection. So the resurrection simply declared him to be the Son of God with power. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 10. Romans 5:10 says this, for if, when we were enemies, we will reconcile to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved, don't miss this, by his life. So Jesus didn't just die. He took his life back, so we get to have eternal life. The Bible says we shall be saved by his life. It's talking about his resurrected life. His risen life, okay? So how can we be saved? By the blood, by the cross, by the stripes, by his hell atonement, and by his resurrected life. It's all of it, okay? Amen. By the sprinkling of blood, you know, by the virgin birth, amen, by living a holy life, right? We shall be saved by his life. Go away to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Not only did the resurrection prove who Jesus is, but the resurrection also proves what Christ has accomplished. Romans 4, look at verse 24. Romans 4:24 says this, But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and don't miss this, and was raised again for our justification. That's why if there's no resurrection, there's no justification. There's no salvation, right? It's the death, burial, and the resurrection. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And the resurrection also gives us the hope for life after death, and there are way more things about life after death than you might think. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Today is Easter Bible study day, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope," don't miss this, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So because of his resurrection, we will have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. So what is this inheritance? I think this can include the rewards that we will get for the work we do for God. But I also believe this can refer to the glorified body and your entire eternal future. Because it's a full package that comes with salvation, right? And let's just keep reading. Look at verse number 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Now, verse 9might be a little bit challenging for you, but verse 9 is not talking about that you have not been saved yet. Verse 9 is saying that you are on your way to the fullness of salvation, which only comes when you receive your glorified body. Because now you have the forgiveness, right? Now you have a new spiritual birth, but in the future you will have a glorification, resurrected body, and your future inheritance in heaven, okay? That's why in verse 9, the Bible says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's the whole package. That's your entire eternal future because of the resurrection, okay? So our faith is not built on a dead Savior, but a risen Savior, right? Because of the resurrection, everything changes, right? We get to partake the entire glorious future after we get our glorified body. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. So the resurrection declared Jesus is who he said he was. And if Jesus Christ rose again, then he is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, then you should believe on him. Amen? I mean, it's that simple. So, point number one, I said the identity. Point number two, the transition. Point number three, the resurrection. Lastly, point number four, the response. And you probably have heard many sermons on Easter, many sermons about the resurrection, but what should we do about it? Okay, what should we do about this information? Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 18. Colossians 1:18. The Bible says this, "And he," talking about Jesus, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." He's the first begotten from the dead. Because he's the firstborn from the dead, don't miss this, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Don't miss this. Because he arose, because he resurrected, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This is powerful. This verse says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead because he had the power over death, because he is risen, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Therefore, he deserves preeminence because he arose. Right? The word preeminence means precedence, priority of place, superiority in excellence. So the resurrection is not just something for you to believe. If you are saved, you all believe in that, but the resurrection is something to bow to. Think about this. Because Jesus was the first begotten from the dead, he should have the first place in your beliefs. He should have the first place in your life. Amen. He should have the first place in your decisions, right? He should have the first place in all of your priorities in your life. Because Jesus didn't just raise from the dead so he could be part of your life. He rose so he can be preeminent in your life. Right. If you only show up to church because it's Easter, then Jesus doesn't have the preeminence in your life. Right?
Yeah.
If you are local here, but if you don't show up on Wednesday night, then Jesus did not have the preeminence in your life. If you are here this morning and you make up some reasons this afternoon and just skip church, then Christ will not have the preeminence in your life.
Right. Yeah.
If you only pray to God when you need something, then Christ does not have the preeminence in your life.
Amen.
Amen? If you care about, you know, if you care more about what people think than what God actually says, then Christ does not have the preeminence in your life. If you only open up your Bible on Sunday mornings, then Jesus does not have the preeminence in your life. If you mouth up to your husbands and disrespect them, then Jesus does not have the preominence in your life. If you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, then Christ does not have the preeminence in your life. If sin has control over you and you're okay with that, then he definitely does not have the preeminence in your life. Amen? If you're full of contention, strifes, bitterness, pride, then Jesus does not have the preeminence in your life. If you're always, you know, sowing discord among the brethren, then Jesus does not have the preeminence in your life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus your king? Not to the no king crowd, okay? Let's make Jesus the king of our life. He should have the preeminence because he arose. What about this? If you don't preach the gospel to others, then Jesus does not have the preeminence in your life.
Amen.
Let me just say this. If you have come to our church regularly, and if you have never preached the gospel, then Christ has no preeminence in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says this. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The gospel is how people are begotten or born again. The gospel is how people can be saved. People are begotten through the gospel, and the gospel must be preached by saved Christians. So if nobody is hearing the gospel from you, then Jesus is not preeminent in your life. If you only show up as soul winning at some big events, then Christ does not have preeminence in your life. Right? Because if God begot us through the gospel, through the adoption, then we should help other people to be begotten of God as well. Right? To bring them to this big family. So I said point number one, the identity. Point number two, the transition. Point number three, the resurrection. Point number four, the response. See, this phrase, this day have I begotten thee, is literally God declaring that Jesus is who he said he was. The payment has been accepted, and we will have the victory. Okay? So if you're not saved today, please get saved. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again for you. And if you are saved, you know, just reflect upon that, because of the resurrection, everything has changed. Right. Everything has meaning. Now we can get other people saved. Now we can do everything by faith. Now we can partake the entire future glorification with God. Amen. Happy Easter. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of your Son. And thank you for our salvation. Lord, I pray that we'll take heed of this message and really put you first in our life, that everything we do, every choice we make, will have you in mind. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Last song we're going to go to is song 238, Christ Liveth in Me. Song 238. On the first. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word the light I found, now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. As rays of light from yonder sun, the flowers of earth set free, so life and light and love came forth from Christ living in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. As lives the flowers within the seed, as in the cone the tree, so praise the God of truth and grace, His Spirit dwelleth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. With longing all my heart is filled, that like Him I may be. As on the wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me.
All right, thank you for coming. And before we dismiss, just some housekeeping items. Anyone who's on this side, if you could move to this side, and then the ushers will stack the chairs against the wall, and then we're going to bring out the tables, and the ladies is going to get the food ready. And then after everything is done, I'm going to pray for the food, and then we can dig in, okay? So let's close the service in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the Easter Sunday. I pray you'll bless the fellowship afterwards and pray for the afternoon service that will honor and glorify you. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.